Let the Bird Fly, a new podcast in our first episode today about living freely in a world given back to us. Our theme for this first episode is Let the Bird Fly, as we hope to tell you a little bit about ourselves, a little bit about how we think the podcast will normally go, and a little bit about the stuff that we think will be worth talking about. My name is Wade Johnston. I teach theology and philosophy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm a Lutheran preacher by trade, having served 10 years in a Lutheran parish. My academic training is in theology and in history. My PhD is in history, especially with the Reformation, but I have an interest in philosophy, which is why we have a philosopher here with us today. I'm the husband of one wife and the father of five children. Two of them are with us today, Isaiah, Ziggy, and Nicholas. Sports fan, and I like to coach sports, and so I'm sure I will have plenty of conversations that tend to go that way, whether they were intended to or not. With us also here today, we have first our producer, engineer, tech guy, Ben Lyer. Ben will speak when he wants to speak, and we won't make him speak. Otherwise, I do think, though, he should be legally responsible should anyone want to sue us, so feel free to contact him. Also with me, I have the wonderfully bearded and very much smarter than myself, Peter Hermanson, and we'll let him tell you a little bit about himself.
Thank you, Wade. My name is Peter Hermanson, as Wade mentioned. I have a background in theology and philosophy from undergraduate work. In graduate work, I did philosophy, and I do neither now, so I consider myself both an amateur philosopher and an amateur theologian. That being said, take everything I say with a huge grain of salt.
As we're getting started with this podcast, we hope to be available in multiplying ways as time goes forward. But for right now, Peter, why don't you tell them a little bit about how they can maybe get in touch with us should they want to?
Yeah, you can find us on our website, very nascent website, letthebirdfly.com. And yeah, that's all one word. Do we have to still say that in 2017? I don't know. We are working on getting on to iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Facebook, and that will become more available through the website, or more easily available through there for right now. Find Wade Johnston on Facebook, and you'll be able to quickly find our Facebook page through there.
And as Peter mentions me on Facebook, it's probably a good time to have our disclaimer. I can disclaim my Facebook page at the same time that I do our show. As we get ready to get into what we'll be talking about normally, we just would like to state this show does not speak for our church body or our employers. To be honest, much of the time, it probably doesn't speak for us. We'll be thinking out loud a lot, so approach what you hear with a healthy skepticism, because as a responsible resident of planet Earth, that's probably what you should generally do with almost everything. If you find yourself getting too worked up about anything we say, calm down, take a deep breath, realize you are listening to a podcast, and go live free. Don't let us get in the way. As far as how the podcast will normally work, we'll have a similar format most weeks. I will usually begin with some sort of narrative from the scriptures, some sort of story that we hope will serve as a good intro into the topic that we'll be talking about that day. We'd like you to keep in mind, though, that as we do that, and as we all do come from a Christian background, we don't mean this to be always an explicitly exclusively Christian podcast. We will be covering a variety of topics, and we hope to be discussing things that people from a variety of backgrounds will be able to benefit from, enjoy, and hopefully even contribute to as you reach out and get in touch with us. We hope to have guests from a variety of backgrounds. Both Peter and I have backgrounds in academia and with grad school, a number of connections and people we would love to have on to talk about the different topics in which we're interested. But beyond that, also people outside of academia as well, from coaching to parenting to marriage to about anything you can think about. We would love to have people on to join us. If you're not that interested in the scripture narrative part of our podcast, we won't be offended. If you skip ahead about 7-8 minutes most episodes, you will then get into what we will be calling the free-for-all. And that's where we'll have at it on whatever's going on in the news or family life or entertainment or sports or whatever strikes our fancy that week. Finally, and most importantly, the real meat of the show will be our theme for each episode, our topic, which we'll explore in the longest section at the end. And we hope to explore there all sorts of topics, and as we mentioned, with a number of guests, which we will be interviewing each week. Having gotten that far, am I missing anything, gentlemen, anything we can think of?
Do we need to explain the name of the podcast, or are we doing that later?
The name of the podcast, we can maybe come back to that at the end, but just briefly, Let the Bird Fly is a reference, first off, to a hymn by Martin Luther. It turns out, as I dug a little bit, he actually asked Justice Jonas to write this hymn, and then he got credit for it, it seems like, later. And the hymn verse reads, If God had not been on our side, which is based on Psalm 124, and this verse is based on verse 7, our souls like birds escaped their net, they could not overpower us, the snare is broken, we are free. And that is something that is played on by a theologian, Gerhard Fierdy, who writes in one of his works, Radical Lutheranism and a More Radical Gospel, about the freedom that we now have in the gospel. And that we'll be getting into later, but he ends that essay with the encouragement to just let the bird fly. And we'll speak a little bit more about that, what that means, as we get further into the podcast. Anything else, gentlemen, you can think of before we get into our scripture narrative to kind of give an introduction to what we hope to be doing in the podcast in general?
Not for me.
Sounds like you got it under control.
All right, well, what I wanted to share with us today as we get started is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. It's verses 1 through 20, and I'm not going to read all of those verses for you. If you don't have access to a Bible, feel free to message us, and we will type out these verses for you and send them back to you. If you're unable to read them yourself, give us a call, and we will be happy to read them for you. But this is the story of a healing of a demoniac, a man with a demon. I like to talk about him being the only sane man in town. Jesus was in a Gentile region, Gentiles being non-Jews, and traveling about, and he made his way to a region as his boat lands, where the first man who greets him is a man who is possessed by a demon. He seems to be a rather interesting individual. We're told that he lived among the tombs, among the dead, and that no one could bind him anymore, which means people had been trying to bind him, which is usually not a good sign. So strong he was that he couldn't even be bound with a chain. They had been trying to bind him, even with shackles and chains, but he would wrench the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. Night and day he howled out, kind of a herald of death among that town, that village, and cut himself, harmed himself with stones. Even more, it appears he went around naked, because later on we're told they were astonished that he was in his right mind and clothed. And I don't know if you have any friends that maybe it surprises you if they're wearing clothes when you see them, but that probably means it's not their everyday appearance. And so as we see Jesus go into this Gentile region, this is the first man who comes to greet him. This is the one man welcome party, this man who has harmed himself, who howls out, who comes to Jesus naked, and he falls down. And he does something pretty amazing in the Gospel of Mark. This is one of the first confessions we get of who Jesus is in all of that gospel. The man says to him, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Just think about that. If you were one of his apostles, Jesus' apostles, that is, watching what a scene that would be as this tormented man comes and confesses who Jesus is and asks Jesus not to torment him. Jesus asked the demons' names, and they say Legion. This man had been tormented by many demons for quite some time, it appears, and they begged him, the demons did, not to send them back to hell, but to send them instead into a herd of pigs. And this is one of my favorite scenes in all of Scripture to picture. Jesus sends these demons into a herd of pigs. We know we're in a Gentile region here. Again, good Jews wouldn't have a herd of pigs. They could not yet enjoy God's good gift of bacon. And so he sends them into this herd of pigs. And the herd, Mark says, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned. I just love imagining the face of the herdsman as that happened. Can you imagine them waiting to report to their boss what had taken place? One moment there's a herd of pigs doing whatever pigs do, and the next moment they're rushing down into the sea. And I don't know how much you've been around pigs, but I lived on a pig farm my vicar year, which is our internship year in our church body, and every night it sounded like someone was being murdered, the squeals and the screaming. And I'm from Detroit, so it didn't bother me, but my wife would always be a little bit bothered, and our little daughter Magdalene at that time. Kind of terrifying animals when you have a bunch of them together, these pigs, and they go down screaming and squealing into the sea, and there they drown. Floating, I don't know, did they sink? Were there young boys hopping from pig to pig as they floated along the seashore? But imagine that scene. This is what Jesus comes and he wrecks the economy. He sends their food, their money, their income down into the sea. And so the people come and they see this man clothed and in his right mind, and they see Jesus. And what would be the reasonable thing for them to do? They say, how about you get out of here? They ask him to leave, and there's only one sane man left in town. We're told that the man, the demoniac, who before had been the one who was out of his mind, was there clothed and in his right mind, and he asked to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't have to go with me to follow me. You can stay here and tell of what the Lord has done for you. I like to tell my students, he says, vocation. You are set free to serve where you are, and whatever ways God sees fit where you are. And I think that gives a good picture for what, at least I'm hoping, this podcast can be. How do we live as those set free, as those loosed, and those to whom the world has been given back to enjoy anew, those who have been declared right with God, so that we no longer need to look inward or serve ourselves, so that we don't even have to worry about what we can do for God that he might love us, but knowing we are loved, that we might look around and see our neighbor and joyfully serve them, knowing that in doing so, we serve Christ. And so that gets a little bit at what we're at with that title, Let the Bird Fly, Life in a World Given Back to Us. Now, I talked a little bit much there, and the Lutheran preacher in me probably came out a little bit. But, gentlemen, anything on Mark 5 that maybe stands out to you, or any thoughts on that, or what we might be where we might be going with that text in mind?
Nothing for me.
Well, with that in mind, then, hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea what we hope to be doing. And with that, I'd like to get a little bit into our free-for-all, which I don't think is going to be too much of a free-for-all today as we ease into things. First, we were just going to talk a little bit briefly about our kids' reaction to this whole new venture that we've been working on. I know for a long time they doubted that I was serious about it. I have 5 children, and Peter has 4. And it just so happens that Peter and I are also Sunday school teachers. We happen to go to the same parish and have each other's kids in class when we teach. So we've gotten a little bit of a scoop. But before we get into maybe my kids' reactions, Peter, did your kids have any thoughts on your new podcast fame? We may hit 10 listeners. We will be widely known.
So, yeah, but my oldest daughter, Oliva, she comes back from Sunday school. And Wade was doing Sunday school for the class today. And she says, we talked about podcasting today. And of course, you know, I'm listening to podcasts because I guess I'm just too old to be millennial male. So that's what I do, I guess. So she knows about podcasting and, you know, thinks that the podcasts I listen to are the most famous people in the world because that's what she hears. So she's just shocked and doesn't think this is really possible. But, you know, she trusts Pastor Johnston over there. She thinks he can handle it. So as I was heading out to do the recording, she says, you know, are you going to go become famous now? So, which was a joke. She's 10, so she's not that naive. But
we had, I think, a mixed reaction among the Johnston children. From embarrassment and fear to maybe a little bit of interest. We have 2 Johnstons here with us today, handsome one and a not-so-handsome one. We'll let you figure out, based upon their voices, who that might be. Ziggy and Nick, did you have any thoughts on what you're thinking as your dad starts a podcast with his buddies?
Nick, you go first.
I don't really know what to expect from this.
On a scale of 1 to 5, how embarrassed do you plan to be if your friends find out about this?
3.78.
There we go. Ziggy, do you have any thoughts on the podcast?
I'm very embarrassed, but I think it will get better over time, but it will start out horrible.
And that's the optimism we're used to in the Johnston household. The girls are not with us today. Anna wanted to, but she was sick, and she missed softball practice, so I told her she couldn't join us if she wasn't healthy enough to go to softball practice earlier. As we continue with the free-for-all today, the only other thing I kind of wanted to get to is we have some mixed allegiances in the office when it comes to sports. I was born and raised in Michigan. I am a Tigers fan in pretty much any Detroit sports when it comes to college. Michigan State man myself. And so we have some Tigers allegiance here. If I had to pick a second team, I'd have to say the Brewers. I married a Wisconsin girl, and so I always wish well to all the Wisconsin teams, with the exception of the Packers.
It's a hard team to root for.
And you can guess where Peter's coming from then. Why don't we give Peter a little bit of chance to tell us about his sports allegiances.
So I was born in Wisconsin, but quickly moved to Minnesota and picked up a bad Vikings habit there. So I agree with Wade that the cheering for the Packers is very difficult. However, I would come back to Wisconsin to visit family and friends during the summer, and we'd take in Brewers games. So I'm a lifelong Brewers fan. I would have to say Twins is my second team growing up in Minnesota. But Brewers is definitely who I cheer for. What about you, Mr. Lehrer?
Well, I too lived in both Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I happened to not be corrupted when I moved to Minnesota, so I am still a Green Bay Packer fan. I also, like Peter, Brewers first, and I do like the Twins. I think it's okay to root for them both. I think the world will end before they'd ever meet in the World Series. And Wisconsin Badgers fan, too. Good to see them doing well in the tournament right now. Depending on when you listen to this, that might not be relevant. But as of right now, they're doing well.
It's been a good showing for the Big Ten. I know Michigan State is playing right now. I don't know how they're doing, and hopefully we'll get good news when we're done. But Michigan and Wisconsin both having impressive showings in the tournament so far. I thought we might go around having some baseball fans here and just briefly give our predictions on win totals for some of our teams, the Tigers, the Brewers, and the Twins, and I'll let the other two pick what teams they would like to predict, but I'll go ahead and pick for my Tigers. I will admit I'm very pessimistic about this year. I don't think a lot of moves were made in the offseason, and it's a team that's getting older, and pitching does not seem to be getting better. I really want to say 90 wins because it feels like the Tigers should have 90 wins because it's been just so long of being a playoff contender. But I am actually going to say I think they will come in under 500. It hurts me to say it, and I hope that someone can use my words against me later. I'm going to go ahead and put them at about 78 wins on the year. Now, the interesting thing will be if that puts them in first place still among the Brewers and the Twins. I will let Peter and Ben decide if they want to venture any guesses and for what teams they might. If they've got two, they can go ahead with both.
I've got to say I'm not too optimistic about the Brewers. They're kind of doing the rebuilding thing, and they are making progress, but the Cubs did the rebuilding thing first, and they're kind of at the peak of the fruits of their labor. So being in a division with them, I think it's going to be difficult to pass them up. And also the always solid Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't know if I can give it a – this is Peter. I don't know if I can give a specific prediction other than certainly under 500. But the Brewers are a year away. Isn't that what we say all the time? Let's wait till next year. It's like Packers fans during the 80s was my favorite generation of Packers fans. The Pack is back year after year. and they never were. Yeah. And then they were, and then now they just need to go away again. But anyway, back to the Brewers.
I was going to say, I can't say much about the Packers in the 80s because the Lions have been the Packers in the 80s for the entirety of their existence. But I'll let you.
How many Super Bowls have the Vikings won, Peter?
No, they've been to a number of them. Let's go back to baseball. This is probably not a fruitful conversation. No, I think that the Brewers. I hope that they're doing the right thing. But you know, being like Ben was saying, being behind the Cubs, I can't fault them for saying let's do this rebuilding in earnest. So we'll see if it works out.
Yeah, I look at the Brewers, and as a Tigers fan, while I think we might have the better record this year, I am jealous of, they have this thing that I hear is good in baseball called a farm system. And we have sold ours for years, and so we will see what happens with that. I don't know if the Tigers will be able to spend like they have in the past to get by without the farm system, but it is kind of exciting to see what the Brewers have in the pipeline. You never know how prospects will pan out, but the future definitely does look bright if they can continue on the right course. Either of you think your Twins or Brewers will be over 500, or are we going to go under 500 on the year for both?
I have to say under up for both. Ben's nodding
Ben
his
is shaking
head,
his
yes.
head, yes.
Pursed lips and nodding head. It's
well, the theology of the cross seems to be the theme of our baseball predictions. I still will be following the MLB Network online, and we'll see how it goes. I do have two young idealistic Tigers fans. We can give them a quick guess if we'd like, but they have only known playoff Tigers baseball, these exciting years. They have not known the years I grew up with after 1984 and the rebuilding. But let's see, you guys, briefly, if you want to pick a win total, what you think they might get to.
I haven't really been paying attention that much, not watching spring training, but I think a strong guess would be somewhere around 500. So I'd say from 75 wins to maybe 85 wins, somewhere along that range. Still not optimistic, as the others have already said, but hopefully it's a good year, but not looking too strong from what I know.
I am not going to jinx it, which tends to happen with pretty much any Detroit team. I'm going to go for about 75 wins about.
Well, pessimism abounds, but hopefully we will be disappointed. Maybe there is some surprise pitcher coming up in the system that will save the day. Well, with that, giving you a sense for kind of how free-for-all will go, I'm sure we'll have some stuff sometimes we'll be a little bit more heated about and disagreeing about maybe when football season comes. I think two out of our three teams will be playoff contenders, and the Vikings, I think, will still be playing. But we'll see how that goes when that time comes around. But what we wanted to get to today for our topic, and as we mentioned at the beginning, especially today, it's kind of introductory for what we hope to be doing with the podcast, and we'll be growing along with you as we do so. But the idea of living freely in a world given back to us, and there's just two quotations from Gerhard Fierdy from that essay, Radical Lutheranism, that kind of give an idea for what we hope to be doing. He writes first, and this actually comes second in the essay, but I'm going to read it first. But after all, in spite of our reluctance and timidity, it isn't some Herculean task we are being asked to do. It has all been done. All we have to do is say it. Just let the bird fly. Precisely because, the second quote now, precisely because the gospel gives the kingdom of God unconditionally to faith, this world opens up and is given back as the place to serve the other. That idea that the Christian, knowing that all has been done for him or for her, that he or she is redeemed, their sins are forgiven, that they don't need to live to earn the love of God, but have the love of God already in Christ, that all that has been done means that as it was for that demon-possessed man, we are not set free, and the world is given back to us as gift, whether that be food or drink or marriage or family, whether that be intellectual pursuits or sports, whatever the case may be, all those things we call vocations, our various stations in life, that we are now set free to enjoy them. And we hope to cover, in doing so, a wide range of topics, and I'm going to defer to Peter in just a moment here, but a variety of topics that interest us. And one of the things we hope to do is to get into a lot of things where maybe we're quoting or we're discussing people that we might not agree with in every aspect of their thought, whether it be philosophically or theologically, historically, or when it comes to sports, athletically. But especially those people who have kind of had an original thought or a special insight that whether you agree or not with all their conclusions, you say they were on to something. And I know the other day we had a study group meeting, and Peter was mentioning one for him, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that he had read, who had kind of brought out some ideas or some thoughts for him that were helpful. And so I guess you don't necessarily need to speak to Bonhoeffer if you don't want to, Peter, but we had talked a little bit about what we're after, about finding that in different authors and different people, those unique thoughts or insights that might be helpful. And with that in mind, as someone who's done theology and philosophy, anything that stands out with that you've learned throughout the process of study or just discussion with friends who have done the same?
Yeah, I'll say that, not speaking to Bonhoeffer in particular, maybe that's a later episode, but what drew me into philosophy pretty late in my undergraduate career was the interest in different thinkers that I didn't think I would agree with anything, and then realize they had some unique insight. And when I recognized there's something to be mined from this, whether it's someone like Nietzsche, who you wouldn't exactly call a Christian, or whether it's someone like Kierkegaard, who you would call a Lutheran, and therefore I would be closer to identifying with. I realized I'm not agreeing with everything, but there's so much to be gained, and it's very easy for us to push away whole groups of people, whole categories of people, thinkers, and say, well, this isn't interesting. This doesn't speak to me because this person's wrong about X, Y, or Z. And then we miss that they were right about A, B, and C in the meantime. And so my pursuit then in graduate school of philosophy, being a late bloomer in philosophy, so playing a lot of catch-up work in graduate school, was largely trying to find, what does this philosopher say to me? What does this thinker say that I can try and appropriate? Now, the hard part is trying to put that all together, of course, but the lifelong journey, the unexamined life is not worth living, is what Socrates says. And to examine life, though, is not there's not a guarantee of an end result. It's an ongoing a journey or battle that we fight. So,
and I think a lot of episodes we might find ourselves, as Peter mentioned, maybe not being able to connect all the dots and maybe not able to give all the nice clean answers that we might want, but to kind of enjoy sometimes exploring the tension, and sometimes having to say it's okay, we're gonna be at peace with the paradox, a very Lutheran thing to be
as Lutherans do. We want to embrace the paradox, right?
Exactly. Rejoice in it.
If it's not a paradox, it's not time for Gemütlichkeit yet.
Yeah, we get very nervous. And I think that one of the things we're hoping to be able to do is to be able to make use of a lot of our friends and colleagues that we have from a lot of variety of backgrounds, whether it be from fellow historians or theologians, philosophers. I'd like to get some of our science faculty in at some point so I can ask them exactly when they had to give up their faith in God in order to do science. I joke, of course. I think that's a fun thing to be able to explore. I always enjoy dealing with those colleagues, how they recognize and realize that God has given us this wonderful, good creation. And the things they are able to explore and be able to do, I always get a little bit nervous when I teach in the science building. There's kind of a glow that comes out of the lab next to the classroom that I teach in, and I always wonder what plague is about to break out or what they're playing with in there that's greatly beyond my understanding. But as we have friends and colleagues with a wide variety of backgrounds, we hope to be able to kind of glean from them too how they're able to pursue things, coming at them in many cases as a Christian, but also being able to appreciate those insights that have come from outside of Christianity as well, that big questions or just original thoughts, things of that nature. As we do so then, one of the themes we'll keep coming back to is freedom. the idea that we are now free to enjoy all of these things, free to look into these fields, free to enjoy, in my case, club softball coming up soon, being out on the diamond, throwing my hat when a steal sign is missed, getting excited when I see a girl do something that she didn't think she could do, or one of the boys making a big play, maybe throwing out someone trying to take second. The joy we can take in all those different things that we're permitted to do in life, being out with friends, having a beer or a coffee and or a beer and a coffee and good conversation. But even just being able to sit around a table like this with some friends and have a discussion like this, whether or not anyone chooses to listen. So as far as what can you expect from us when it comes to topics, I think the answer is what we want to talk about. We'll probably get into the news sometimes. If we get to politics, we'll try to get it from keep it from getting too personal. But I think based on some of the interesting conversations we've had in the past, maybe some discussions about general themes that come up in that, how the Christian can live in what we call the two kingdoms, the church and the state, or the temporal and the spiritual. I guess, Ben or Peter, either of you, if we've kind of been discussing what we might do with this, anything else that comes to mind with where we'd like to go or what the listener might be able to expect?
Well, I would encourage the listener to send us topic suggestions if there are certain things. As Wade says, it'll be a little bit of a potpourri, I think, and so there'll be room for a lot of different areas. And hopefully the variety will be a spice instead of something more chaotic than that.
And we'll try to, as we are developing the show, to kind of give you a little foretaste of things that will be coming, some of the topics we hope to be looking at in upcoming episodes, some working titles that may or may not be what we stick with, but hopefully to an extent will be, for instance, The Bound Life, as we look at the human condition, and maybe hear Peter in that episode will be able to bring us a little bit of Hobbes and some other great optimists who have looked at humanity and questioned what basic human nature is. But The Bound Life, what it means to be a human being in a fallen world, but then also the freedom that comes from recognizing our human condition, from not trying to be what we cannot be, but instead living as free in Christ, even in a fallen world, seeing God's hand behind the many gifts that we have. The episode after that, working title, is Taking No Prisoners, how God comes to us and how through us he comes and he speaks forgiveness and life for one another, that we now also set each other free to serve. And then also some upcoming episodes, the importance of friendship, of absolution, of consolation, how we can live in grace in marriages and families, on baseball or softball teams, all of that wonderful stuff. We've had other ideas that are tossed out, some colleagues that I've talked to that we're very excited about, but we'll let those develop a little more before we get too much into them. I think we've largely, hopefully, kind of whet your appetite and given you an idea of what we'll be have coming. I'll give Ben and Peter one more chance to see if there's anything, any thoughts they have, and then we'll close again. We'll let Peter give you our information, which at this point he mentioned is very nascent. It's just in the birth stages of how you will be able to get in touch with us as we go forward.
Yeah, I'll repeat the information here. It's how you can get in touch with us. The main way is going to be on the website, letthebirdfly.com. As I said, we're working on iTunes, Stitcher, other, wherever your podcatcher finds its feeds. And on the web page, we'll hopefully have that. Also, a Facebook page, which right now the best way is to find Wade Johnston on Facebook and look for the page through that. But hopefully on an episode soon to come, we will have an actual Facebook page URL that we'll share with you. And our website will be up and we'll have iTunes running. It'll be just amazing and wonderful. And then all three of you can listen easily.
And I'll just, when we do get that up on my Facebook, I'm not usually the guy who sends out the like or share if you're my friend, cancer, type amen, whatever type post. But if you do love Jesus and you are my friend, I will encourage you to like and share.
Or if you just love Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's not limit it.
That's probably a much broader audience if you love Jesus and not necessarily my friend. But with that in mind, we are excited to hopefully be getting into a conversation with you, to be discussing a wide variety of topics, to be learning from guests, and to generally be growing in this as we go as well. And so we'd encourage you to spread the word, to tune in next time as we try to, again, to kind of hone what we're doing, but also to have some fun conversations about things that maybe we otherwise don't think about, big questions or ideas, or even the minutia of the day as it strikes us. We thank you for joining us. Once again, this is Let the Bird Fly, where we podcast about living freely in a world given back to us. Have a great day.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to clown. I don't care what the people are thinking, I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinker. I set them up, another round. I set them up, another round. I set them up, another round. One more round won't get me down. I don't care what the people are thinking. I'm not drunk.